This is Tim Peel, former National Hockey League referee. You're listening to Blues Hockey Podcast.
Welcome back to the Blues Hockey Podcast. Your host, Jason, along with Chris.
Yo.
Okay. After our season preview, we took a couple weeks off. Chris was out and about. I think you traveled a little bit at least last time we talked. And then
it's been a busy couple of weeks.
Yeah, to say the least. And then Chris is an early bird now. So
I am.
And so you hear Chris in the mornings on Casey.
Yep.
Along with AD and Jenna. So 6 to 10.
6 to 10, Monday through Friday.
Yep. So. He's got that going on, so we're just sneaking stuff in when we can here before we head out to dinner here. We figured we'd talk about the Blues, and of course we had to talk a day after they royally got their dicks kicked in.
The Arizona game was bad.
All right, we'll talk
about this was yuck.
Yeah, this was like bad from the start.
From the jump.
I was like kind of half watching it because I was playing some games and stuff, and when I looked over, I saw the shots were 19-2.
Yeah.
We'll get into the game, but it was just not a good game overall. So, not great there, but we'll talk about that. We got some Blues news, some Hall of Fame news. So, I like that the Blues are doing that now.
That's really too.
Awesome. So, we got that. We got three inductees there. We'll talk about Doug Armstrong reaching a milestone. And then we'll talk about a Blues prospect change of plans for how his development is. So, we'll get into all the news first before we get into all the games. So, first off, on the news docket, the first thing is the Blues' number one pick last year, Dalibor Dvorsky, signed a 2-year agreement with basically they do tiers in overseas.
Correct.
So, for Sweden, he was in tier two, is where he did pretty well. And then he moved up to tier one for 2 years, and that's what it kind of was. After the 2 years in Sweden or wherever he was, he's come over.
Right.
Did not go the way the Blues and him wanted.
No.
So basically, slowly his ice time went down from about between 14 and 18, depending on the game, and the team wasn't doing very well.
Correct.
He played in his last game before he sat 44 seconds.
It's not a lot.
Not a lot for an 18-year-old who's trying to develop to a professional hockey player. So they released him from his contract. And he was able. Every player is always eligible to get drafted in the OHL, even if they're like overseas, Canadian, American, whatever. Sure. But so sometimes people are drafted and they know that these guys are never going to come over.
Sure.
So kind of like, I think soccer is kind of like a similar.
I think baseball is kind of that way too.
Yeah.
Like, baseball you can get drafted out of high school in baseball, and it's basically they have your rights.
Yeah. So he was on the Swedish Hockey League. Here we go with this name. The IK Oskarham.
Yep.
Now the OHL, the Sudbury Wolves. A lot easier to say.
A lot easier.
So,
a lot of less umlauts.
Yes. So he gets over there and immediately made an impact. Was a number one power play unit. He was on the second line. Had a assist his first game. Then had a goal and assist his next game. So doing well there. So that was really nice to him kind of go to the OHL and do well, because it would have been kind of concerning if he went there and was similar.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think anyone who's played sports knows that sometimes it's just not a good fit. I will make reference to the Dream Team 2 in Atlanta, I believe it was, that, or was it the third one that didn't win a gold? Mm-hmm. And then there was a couple of years after that in the Olympics where the U.S. got a bronze or didn't even make it to the medal round. And it's all NBA All-Stars. Sometimes you can have great players and you just don't mesh as a team. And that could have very well been the case in Sweden, but he's gotten into the OHL. He seems comfortable. He's producing. And now it's just, okay, continue to play, continue to grow, mature, get bigger as a player and smarter, and make your way into the NHL, hopefully in a year or two.
Yeah, and to quote Doug Armstrong, after evaluating Dalibor's situation in Sweden, talking with him and his representatives, we jointly decided that the opportunity to play regular minutes at Sudbury against his peer group in the OHL would be the best thing for his development at this time. We look forward to watching his continued growth as a player, end quote. So, yeah, basically, and it's a smaller ice surface too, so I think that's even better with him coming over. So it's not the huge ice surface. It's
like, the international ice surface.
So it'll be even better for his development, I think, in the long run. So my guess for now, what they're going to do, OHL this year.
AHL the next.
AHL probably next. Yeah. Kind of what they did with Bull Duke.
Sure.
I think that's the what they're shooting for. So good stuff. He's over here now. I think that's just better for him. It's easier for him to track now. I know Alexander Steen was in town recently. They showed him at a Blues game. I know he's been in charge of kind of like the overseas European scouting. But one less guy for him to worry about, I guess. Sure. So, all right. The big one, which we'll talk about, is the Blues been doing the Hall of Fame. They started last year. They had pretty much all the inductees from everybody who had a number
in the rafters.
In the rafters, got it, and a couple extras.
Yep.
So, my vote this year, which I knew a couple of votes were definitely going to get in, so I voted for the obscure one. Mm-hmm. So, who would I vote for an obscure that I really like that nobody else probably will like?
I was going to say Barrett Jackman.
Of course I did. Of course I did. So, what the Blues decided to just, I guess they did this during the summer. They had, like, you know,
right,
and they finally announced it for the 2024 season. So three players, two kind of, I say, semi-current, one being close to original Blue. So Mike Liute, goaltender with the Blues, kind of a big deal in the agent world now. He was, for a while, Vladimir Tarasenko's agent. Then Keith Tkachuk.
Yep.
So that's obviously one of the – he did not get into the Hockey Hall of Fame yet, which is a weird one to me.
I think he will.
Oh, he will eventually, I think. It's just a matter of time. But the big one, which I think is well-deserved, and obviously his family will be attending, is Pavel Dimitra.
Yeah, that's a well-deserved one.
Yeah, he they told his wife, Keith Tkachuk did like a Zoom call where he talked to his wife, and his wife was like, you know, overcome with, you know, emotion and stuff. So it was a cool video for the Blues to put out. And
was Pavel's wife Eastern European as well, or was she American?
From the video, I could tell Eastern European because she had like an accent and stuff. So that's what I'm going with, but still spoke very good English too. The Dimitra trade might be Mike Keenan's best.
I mean, he made a lot of them.
I mean, he made a ton, but his, like, the one that you stick out, the two that will stick out always is going to be the Pronger trade.
The Pronger.
For Shanahan, because at the time.
At the time, it was a terrible trade for the Blues.
Yes. But the last one was Pavel Dimitra for Christer Olsen. So Dimitra was an unsigned free agent, and they decided to take a chance on him, and he just immediately did well. Played 8 seasons with the Blues. A lot of memorable ones. So, let's see. Keith Tkachuk, obviously the trade from Phoenix up here, how he acquired. Obviously, it would be nice to have one or both his sons playing for the Blues, but that didn't happen. But, Keith Tkachuk is great. Liu was drafted by the Blues in 76, played his first 6 seasons with the Blues, and he was actually the first Blue, I believe. He won Lester B. Pearson Award, it says here, but I thought he won the Conn Smythe.
Did he win it in one of the years that the Blues lost?
Yes. No, who was that? It was somebody else. It was another goaltender. I'll come back to me. We'll get it. But it was a goaltender the first 3 years. It wasn't Liu because he just drafted in 76.
Okay.
Those were in 67. So you got that. Go ahead and hit us up on the social medias. So last but not least on our Blues news segment would be Doug Armstrong reaches 1,000 games as a GM of a club, which not many people have done.
Yeah, that's a big accomplishment.
I put a tweet out there and it talks about all the clubs that how many GMs they've had since Armstrong's been a GM. And there's a couple that's had 5 general managers since he's taken over. He took over back in 2010, July 1st, 2010. So David Poile was the longest one because he was the first Nashville Predators.
Sure, and he just retired.
He make him the official longest tenured GM as of right now. I know a lot of Blues fans, due to the last couple seasons, are very, let's get rid of Armstrong. He doesn't know what he's doing. That's so blah, stupid. Blah. Like,
the dude runs Hockey Canada.
Yeah. So that's my thing. So only 22 general managers have ever worked 1,000 games with a single franchise. So that's saying something.
Right,
and he's well respected. Like, I think the other thing that's Armstrong with me is if you got a chance to watch the Blues, like behind the draft thing they did, and it was like a little 10 minute thing. There's a couple of times where he went up to GMs and he's like, hey, who are you going to take? And David Poile was just like, oh, yeah, we're going to take this guy. Like, guys don't need to, like, GMs don't need to say that to other GMs. No,
they don't need to say anything.
And he's like, okay, because we were thinking about moving up to take a guy. So if you're not taking one of the guys, we were thinking about, I'm going to go ahead and get this. I'm going to go ahead and not trade back.
Yeah.
And, like, simple as that. I think it's, like, really interesting that, and to show the amount of respect he gets for that, you know?
I think the biggest thing that you can say about Doug Armstrong is that he puts the team above any player. And that's hard to do, man. You know, you go back to the David Backes contract negotiations when those fell off. And it would have been real easy just to cave and go, okay, fine, you can have the extra year.
Yeah.
But you do that, you likely don't ever get Ryan O'Reilly.
And you probably don't, because
don't get a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
You know, the Vladimir Tarasenko situation, it would have been easy to cave and been like, well, what do you want? We'll just make it better.
Yeah.
But he continuously does things to prolong the window being open for this team to win Stanley Cups. Now, obviously, we're not in a window right now to do it, but I think that having someone at the helm like a Doug Armstrong makes the turnaround to make this team competitive again shorter. You know, we're not looking at, oh, God, we're going to be terrible for the next 5 to 10 years. I think that the pieces are in place, both with veterans and young players, to turn this team around sooner than later. The guy makes extraordinary deals. Like, some of the trades he's pulled off are just like, what? The Ryan O'Reilly deal alone.
Yeah, that's the one that you're always going to stick out. Like, get me wrong, Tage Thompson's turned out to be a very good player. But at the end of the day, until Tage Thompson brings them a Stanley Cup,
yep,
you can't call it an even trade.
I'll tell you right now, and I have many friends in Buffalo, and they love Tage Thompson. And every time I go, man, I wish we had Tage Thompson back, they look me dead in the eye and go, shut up. You have a Stanley Cup.
Yeah. So that's
You know what's funny? Do you know what they originally wanted for O'Reilly, and we agreed to give them other parts? They wanted Kyrou and Parayko.
Yeah, that was the original. And then
you could go back in time and say, hey, you can keep Tage Thompson, give him Parayko and Kyrou.
Be interesting.
I mean, look, Colton Parayko was a big part of winning that Stanley Cup. Not going to take it away from him. But you look at today, and boy, I think I'd rather have Tage Thompson.
They have a superstar basically in the making. Oh, I know. Ooh. Yeah, because I remember, and then they wanted Thomas for a while was the rumor too. Like, well, think about that. Like, no, he's wrong, as I do like Robert Thomas, but like, what was if it was Thomas over Thompson? But I don't know if Tage Thompson would have developed the way he developed.
I agree.
That's the thing. That's the killer. Like,
I just think, imagine having Robert Thomas setting up Tage Thompson every night.
It'd been crazy, but. What could have been, but we'll take the cup and we'll roll forward from there. So, yeah, just congrats to Doug Armstrong and the Blues move forward. So, now we're going to our game recaps. We're not going to go through all of them goal by goal. We'll talk about big moments during the games, but overall, we're not going to sit there and like drill goal by goal like we kind of used to do. So, since we got a lot to go through. So, the Blues started the season off in Dallas. So, 2-1 shootout loss. Binnington was awesome again.
Binnington was fantastic.
I'll ask you overall with these first. After I get through these four games, I'll ask you this question.
Sure.
So 2-1 shootout loss. Dallas is picked to
win
the whole thing this year. So they're a very good team. And Blues, overall, held with the new defensive scheme seemed to be a lot better.
I was very pleasantly surprised with what I saw in that game.
Yeah. The only thing that I point like. As much as I only watched a little bit of this because I was just in and out. I had stuff going on that night, unfortunately. The offense wasn't clicking yet, but it was for game one, so I was kind of okay. Game two against Seattle at home comes. 2-1 shootout win. Okay, we'll take that. To me, it was – I watched this whole thing. It was very much – sacrifice everything on the defensive end and maybe we'll try to get a shot or two
right
on the other end. I don't know if it kind of seemed like how it was. But I was like, okay, well, they got a week now about to figure this out. So 2-1, just a couple games getting underneath your full squad, whatever. Then Hofer starts game 3.
Yep.
Which is fine. I make one little comment online about...
Oh, boy. Boy, did you start a storm on Twitter.
Yeah. So I literally said, like, I saw somebody post about... I think of the Locked On Blues podcast, they replied to that basically saying like, oh, you guys, we got Hofer, we're in good shape. And I'm like, well, he played pretty well last year and he's kind of, they think he might be stealing starts from Binnington this year. So we'll see. And that's how I meant it. Obviously, when you put something online, obviously it could, whoever takes it, whichever way they take
sure.
it, they thought it is whatever. And they basically came back at us and said something like, oh, great. We faced Sorokin and Shesterkin the first two. And then we faced, now I faced a guy that may be stealing starts from a guy who had a 0.894 goals against last year. I'm like, cool, man. So I was like, fine. You're gonna be a dick about it. Cool. So I posted a thing with Binnington and said, hey, does Shesterkin or Sorokin have one of these? And is Binnington with a cup? And I said, very, very nicely, just a little chirp. I said, hey, let me know how Houston is next year.
Yep.
The guy did not like that.
No.
And he told me to go F myself.
A little sensitive.
What? Hey man, if I lose my going ready to lose my team, I guess I'll be sensitive too. So
sure,
because whatever. Hey, if insiders are saying that Houston looks like a good possibility and they're predicting that as one of their predictions, and I didn't see that in like one person, I saw multiple.
That team's gone. Look, I love Phoenix. I have family ties to Phoenix. I think that hockey is better served with teams in non-traditional markets, but when you have an arena kick you out and you can't get funding for another arena and you start playing in a college stadium or a college arena and you can't fill the college arena, that's a problem. Yeah. It's time to go elsewhere.
Yeah. And to me, it's like, Arizona is a solid market, but like Houston is like the fifth biggest populous city or something like that, or six. It's top
in
10.
radio markets, it's number 7.
Okay.
But I mean, it's got football, it's got baseball, it's got basketball. Mm-hmm. So the only thing it's missing is a hockey team.
Yeah. So, and they have like a minor league hockey team, the Houston Arrows. So, I mean, which has been around for a long time.
Yes.
So, like, they're. But they have a ready arena that could...
Yes. I personally would love to see them come to Kansas City. I think they're going to want to keep them in the South.
Yeah.
And Houston's a great spot for
them. Kansas City would be great just for... And it would work logistically for a lot of the Central teams, too, I think. Houston, I think, is not too far off either.
No, it's fine. But, I mean, if you put that team in Kansas City, it's a drive from Denver. It's a drive from St. Louis. It's a drive from Minneapolis.
And Chicago is in...
This is terrible.
Terrible. Yeah. So, I mean, you're all driving distance and good rivalry, you know, too. So, it'd be nice to have an in-state thing for us, but we're selfish. So, but
sure.
Anyway, doesn't matter. The Blues, for some reason, the last handful of years have just not played them well.
Arizona has their number and has for a while.
The thing that's funny, like, we had their number for years. It was always like an automatic win for long, even when they were like pretty decent.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened right around the year of the – maybe it was the cup year. I mean, the year before the cup year, whatever it was. And they just don't play well.
No, they don't. They really don't.
Really bad. And
I look back to the bubble year where the Blues and Arizona basically played a 7-game series in the middle of the season.
Yeah, because they just – the way the schedule worked and stuff like that. So
– and Arizona, I think, won 4 or 5 of those games.
I believe they won 4-3, if I remember correctly. And it was like pretty decisive on most of those games.
Yeah.
And the other ones we barely kind of squeaked by. But it's a 6-2 loss. Hofer looked okay. A couple ones I liked back. And
the team didn't look good.
And that's the thing on my thing. It's like you leave your goalie out to dry. He even said that afterwards. They left the goalie out to dry, and that's like the way you play. And then me and you were busy on the next game. That's when we had we were down at Limp Mansion for the night.
Yep.
But the Blues looked really well. Our friend Rick said Pittsburgh doesn't look great, but at the same time, the Blues look really good. And the Blues win 4-2. So it's going to be this, in my opinion, after these 4 games or all these games so far, it's going to be a roller coaster year.
Yeah, I don't see this as a team that's going to rip off 7 or 8 wins in a row. But conversely, I don't think I see this team losing 7 or 8 in a row either. I think this team's going to win a few, lose a few, which. Okay, great. We don't have to suffer through a big losing streak, but we're going to be a 500 team most of the year.
I think that's I kind of mildly disagree with you, but I think you're going to see the losing streaks more and more. I think because like I said, when you don't change anything on defense, your defense was horrible last year.
Yeah.
If you look at all the fancy
the
stats,
the scheme is different, but the personnel is the same.
Yeah. And sometimes when you change, like all, and people are going to sit there and get at me about, oh, what about 2019? There's such thing as unicorn and miracle years. And yeah, that's what happened that year. And we will all remember that until the day we're no longer right on this earth. You can't depend on miracles to happen every time to turn your team around.
No, you can't.
It's just plain and simple. I just think you're going to see some of the losing streaks happen, and then, but you might see a couple wins. I think it's going to be like that. It's going to be like win maybe two or three, lose maybe four, win three or four, win lose six, or yeah, something like. So I think you're just going to see ups and downs like this. You're going to see the team look like this team's a playoff. Like then you see the Blues Lounge go up like, I told you this team's a playoff team, and they're going to be
this team is not a playoff team,
and blah blah. And then you turn around and they play Winnipeg and.
Yikes.
If it wasn't for Bidding, once again.
He's the only consistency in this team right now.
Outside, I mean, we'll say the Vancouver game, which we'll talk about. But, I mean, from what I saw, kind of hard to stop everything when your team is not really doing anything.
No, that Vancouver game was harsh.
Yeah. So, the Winnipeg, they lose 4-2. Not really. I mean,
they look flat.
They kind of had a goal late. Thomas got a goal late to make it 3-2.
Yeah.
But overall, I think there was one goal that I think I'll point out that I think Bennington shed was the Kyle O'Connor goal.
Yeah.
He was waiting for the pass. You saw him start to lean, and then Connor just went top shelf, yep, and he just basically was out of position. So as much as we give Bennington props, and which he 100% deserves so far, but I don't think that one's the one he wants back.
Agreed.
So Hofer gets back in the net. Since he's playing every Thursday, apparently.
Yep.
So he gets in against Calgary. It's a night of back-to-backs. Do you think Bennington did not start this game because Nazem Kadri?
No, I don't. I think they wanted him in Vancouver.
Because yeah, I saw some people online kind of saying that. I'm just like, are we not by this?
No, like, dude, St. Louis can't let go of things.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to take you back to people finding every reason in the world why Guns N' Roses purposely canceled a concert in St. Louis this month. Because they don't want to play St. Louis because St. Louis can't let go of a riot that happened 32 years ago.
Damn. But yeah, so that doesn't surprise me. But and the thing is, the media gets like perpetrated too, because they had, remember, which we'll talk about here, they had the frenzy. Was it frenzied?
Oh, yeah. The
frozen frenzy.
The NFL or the NHL version of the.
Which was great. It was like, that was the one that was on the 24th, which was the Winnipeg game. It was great. Every team played that night, which. I get it. You can't do that every night, but they should do that. Like, man, start it in the morning and do it through like late at night. Cause like we talked about during obviously the bubble hockey, mm-hmm, when they had that and it was all fantastic. One arena. It was like 9 a.m. to 11 o'clock at night. You could literally, you had nothing watch else hockey. To do. You just sit down and you could watch hockey for
it was
12
like the college
hours.
Basketball tournament.
Yeah. And it was like that every night, which was great. They should do that more often. Like to me, like
during weekends, they should.
Pick a Saturday or something like that. Or my thing is do the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And that make that
the
like
the problem with that is you run into the NFL a lot.
That's true. I know that. I know that's everybody does that. We talk.
They
about
do it. That. I remember specifically a handful of years ago watching the Blues play a game at noon. Was it St. Patrick's Day?
Probably.
They played in Boston. Mm-hmm. And I remember Backus scored with like a second left to win the game.
Correct.
And that was a game in the middle of the day. And I'm like, this is great.
Yeah. It's like there, Columbus Day, we're always too. Cause I know that because my work always is training during those days. So I always kind of like throw my phone up real quick and kind of watch the game during that, which nobody listened from where I'm working. So
please ignore
that. But yeah, so I hope they do something more like that and pick like different days where you can do that more. It'd be great. But
I agree.
The NHL can't get out of their own way, which they reversed did you see they reversed now the ban on Pride tape? So they banned Pride tape.
But now you can have Pride tape.
Now you can have Pride tape after a couple players were like, I don't care.
Yeah, find me.
Yeah, find me. What are you going to do? Like, you're going to find me for putting this on there? Like, it's going to make you look bad, not me.
Yep.
So, but they were like, yeah, you're good. Never mind. So, which is can't get out of their own way, which is what even players are saying. Like, they're reactionary. They're not.
I agree. They don't really take a stance.
Yeah, they're like, oh, okay, that's bad. We'll sorry.
Yeah.
That's And that's why you have trouble growing the game sometimes. Like,
I agree.
So anyways, off my soapbox there. So last two games of the Calgary game, we talked about Hofer played. Didn't have to like make a ton of like crazy. He had a couple good saves.
He made the ones he had to make.
Calgary had 14 shots for two periods.
Yep.
And then the last period, they only had like six. So I think it was like 22, I think is what I said. Let me get the final thing here. But yeah, they looked great this whole game. Like Neighbors had a goal. Hofer had 27. So they turned on the last period, but still like not bad. And Sundqvist had his first back. He had an empty netter.
Yep.
Kapanen had the shorthanded goal, went top shelf, which was awesome. I still thought they gave this to Nick Leddy. I thought it looked like it hit Neighbors, but I don't. They still credit to Nick Leddy. And Leddy got the one from the point.
Yep.
And I thought it hit Neighbors because he had a bunch of like people in the bunch of family in town. Because you know, Sundqvist got the late one, which we'll take that. Then last but not least, we won't talk about this one too much. The Blues got destroyed during the back to backs in Vancouver.
Yeah, that they looked awful. That first period, I think they had four or five penalties.
Yeah, so it was like the first eight, I think 24 seconds in they had a game. Yeah, so it was not great.
No, it was very undisciplined and sloppy hockey. Binnington was the only thing that kept that game from being 10 or 12 to nothing.
Yeah, I admit, and this is why like we do this. Like, they went with 11 and 7 on the Calgary game, and I was very much like, really?
Yeah.
Like, that's not great. And then obviously they look great for me because they did work pretty well. They switched out defensive pairings, Tucker and Varanasat, which I was not a fan of Varanasat. I get it. Like, he made some errors, but he has a goal and two assists so far on a team that's not scoring that much.
Right.
And then they went with 11-7 again back-to-back nights, which I thought was a bad move. And obviously one of the two times I was right, at least. But I'll take it. But yeah, so
it makes you an all-star in baseball if you're
it's true 50%. So after seven games, 500 hockey, and I think that's what you're gonna see for here on out.
I got to admit, it's better than I expected.
I mean, compared to some of the teams, I mean, the teams that are on top are the teams that you expect to be on top. You got Colorado just lost their first game the other night, they're 6-1, Dallas is 4-1-1, Winnipeg's 4-3. Minnesota's just ahead of us, 3-3-2. Nashville's just below us at 3-4. Same with Arizona. And honestly, Chicago's 3-5. So it's pretty tightly bunched right now.
Yeah.
So you easily can fall pretty bad. At least we're not like the Pacific Division, which is
trash.
Trash right now. I mean,
look, if this team can hold and tread water, maybe they come together and gel. Right now, I feel like they're, like we were saying earlier, there's no finisher on this team. There is no Vladimir Tarasenko. There's no David Perron. There's no one who you know, that guy scoring a goal tonight. You know, the guy who should be, Jordan Kyrou, can't seem to find the goal with two hands on a map right now.
Yeah.
You hope that that turns around and he starts filling it up. You know, you mentioned Verana, who had a great end of last year. He's already got one and two assists. Kapanen scored the other night. It's young, but this team needs to find that person who's going to score goals. And right now, I feel like we've got a couple of really good setup guys, but no one who's going to put it in the back of the net on a consistent basis.
Yeah. Kyrie's looked at, like, I'm always hard on him, so I try to like think I'm like, okay, it's just me because I just don't like him. He's just been okay.
He's been very just okay.
And for someone who's supposed to be leading the way, like the last, I'll take the Vancouver game out, but from what I saw, but like the Calgary game, I thought he looked very engaged and looked very good.
Yep.
But when a team is bad and you're supposed to be the star player, you're supposed to be like putting the team on your back to like carry. Like, to me, that's like Brett Hull. That's like David Backes would try and do that. You know,
look, let's at say the Dimitra. First half of the 18-19 year when Ryan O'Reilly was skating his guts out on a team that couldn't win a game.
Yeah, the guys like that is what I'm looking for. Right now, and it's early, like Thomas hasn't really shown that to me. Kyrou hasn't shown it to me. Buchnevich was hurt a little bit, so he's been bouncing around, so I'm not really sure. To me, it's like he's a very good player, but he's not.
When Buch is out there, you know he's out there.
Yeah.
He makes an impact, whereas I can't really say the same with Jordan Kyrou right now.
And unfortunately, the only time I've noticed like really the line that sticks out to me so far that I've liked the most is the fourth line, which is not going to be a recipe for success.
No.
I think Kevin Hayes has been
okay,
invisible at times.
Yep.
Okay at times. So hopefully he's just finding his rhythm.
Yep.
Defense, at times they looked better, but if you look at the fancy stats, like we are in the like 26th and lower on all the fancy stats.
I know.
Like it's so basically this team's playing with fire and it might burn them in, like eventually. And that's,
sure.
And that's why I've always said like you can look at the eye test as much as you can, but you always have to use that like analytical stuff too. And like that's why I said, but you just can't use analytical stuff either. You have to look, so you have to look at both. Because there are times where that defense looks so much better.
Agreed.
Like, I'm like, man, agreed. This look great. And then you go look at the fancy stats for the game, and it's like, wow, they did their Corsi was awful. And this is and a couple other stats like goals for and this just little stuff. And it's just,
I think those stats,
the high danger chances are higher. Yes. You know, like stuff like that. It's like, and your goalie is one of the reasons why that's not as low as it can be.
Look, I think that the fact that Bennington is making saves left and right draws attention to the defense. I think you combine that with the fact that this team offensively isn't scoring a lot of goals, and it again puts focus on your defense because you're not going to win shootout games. You're not going to win 5-4, 6-5. This team's going to have to keep teams to 2, maybe 3 goals if they want to win games.
Yeah, if not,
they're just not going to win track meets.
Yeah, that's the thing is like, and it's a guy like Verona out there would help with that. Yeah. And but we'll see what happens. So I don't know what to expect from this team, honestly. Like it, like we've seen, like it's tale of two teams every game. Like it could be come out like gangbusters and their defense looks great and they're getting scoring chances, or they just don't look like they know how to hockey at this point.
True.
And that's the thing that's just kind of like a killer. So all the games for October are wrapped up. So weird schedule continues.
Yep.
So they don't have a game until November 1st. Neat. So they play Colorado.
Fun.
New Jersey. And then back-to-back nights, they have New Jersey and visit old friend Jake Allen.
Nice.
So it'll be interesting. And then La Central Division to start. You play Colorado twice in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. You have Arizona and Winnipeg in the first 2 weeks. So your next 2 weeks, it's going to be a test.
Yes, it will.
Let's see. So I'll real quick, we'll go with Colorado, New Jersey, Montreal, Winnipeg, Arizona, Colorado. What's the record in 2 weeks? Because we'll probably, because you'll be at the
wine event.
Okay. I was waiting to see if for a second there.
The Chablis Colonic.
I was waiting to see why we were calling it. So Chris will be gone for a little bit, so we probably won't get the recording until
after
next weekend, because we get back UEC next weekend, and then immediately Metallica. So 6 games at those teams. What's your prediction on those 6 games?
I'll go 2-4.
I hate being negative too, man. I really do.
Yeah, I'm going to say 2-4 out of those 6.
I'm going 1-4-1.
All right.
I'm thinking the Montreal game is where they win it.
I think so too.
I think they'll do a shootout win to avenge themselves, possibly win the game against Arizona.
Yep.
I've seen the Avalanche a couple of times. They look good.
They're going to get
smoked. They look good. Winnipeg, and the thing is, Winnipeg.
Yeah, they could, but I think it's 2-4.
Yeah, so we'll see. So interesting stuff. So a couple things before we get to our sponsors real quick. I just want to give a shout out to a new podcast that just popped up. Our friend Tim, a listener.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing his own podcast now called Mostly Hockey. So
nice.
So congrats to him. And the episode will be coming out soon, I think he said.
Cool.
So look for that there, along with ours, along with other Blues podcasts. So never can get enough hockey podcast out there.
I agree.
So we'll get into our sponsors. So first, Rockstar Tacos. So 4916 Shaw Avenue, open Tuesday through Friday. They're doing a Halloween music trivia. So go ahead and if you hit them up if you want to get a table reserved.
Yep.
They're going to have a bunch of the prizes and other stuff that they're doing. So music trivia is once a month now. So go ahead and it's going to be, instead of doing it four times, they're going to do one and be like a bigger kind of thing.
Bigger event, more themed.
So we may be on our way there. We're waiting to see. So we may be going to dinner there.
Saturday night special looks amazing.
I know. I think we may be hitting that up. So go ahead, Rockstar Taco, and check them out today. Next, Altered State Comics. Go ahead and check them out, alteredstatecomics.com. They're on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. So go ahead and get your comics, Funko Pops, a couple other collectibles. Go check your pull list. Chris has a couple.
Get that pull list.
Actually, you do have two comics there, actually.
Sweet.
You actually do. The two Broad Hall comics.
Oh, nice.
I pulled those. I didn't pull those for you. So Chris is going to go pick those up today. I will pick mine up today, too. So go ahead and check them out, Altered State Comics. And also with Altered State Comics, which a little fun deal here. Go in and mention that you listen to Blues Hockey Podcast when you're ready to check out, and you're going to get 10% off your comics.
So, oh, snap.
So your pull list, and you get 10% off. So go ahead and do that.
Added value.
So even better. So go ahead and check that out today. Last but not least, Lucky Lolas. So I just got talked with Mike over Lucky Lolas, and they got some new stuff coming out. So
meat sticks.
So that's our budget kicking in once again. So those will be hitting once those are out, I will let everybody know. But check those out. They're at Fresh Time, Schnucks. Schnucks has a little like kiosk up front, you know, with all the local stuff. Go check that out. And Lucky Lolas, follow them on Instagram and Facebook.
Yep.
And last but not least,
us.
So follow us on the Facebooks, the Twitters, Instagram. We have a Threads account apparently that I need to apparently post on that.
That's in the world.
That's a thing. So you find us all there. So the website is down.
All right.
So anything you hold of us on there, email us at blueshockeypodcast@gmail.com. If you got any questions or constructive criticism, or just tell us how great we are and that we're fantastic.
Let us know that we have no fans or that only our parents or relatives review us.
Yep. Tell Chris.
Shout out to mom.
Yeah. Tell Chris how great they are in the morning. So
I got a great story for you off the air.
Okay. So let's see. We got all that. So we had to download us Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, Pocket Cast, all the different casts. Check them all out. Whatever your favorite podcasting app, go ahead and you'll find us there before Chris dies over
there. I went
to
make a joke and inhale my soda.
No. So he's good. So yeah.
Find
so,
us on Bumble BFF, Tinder.
Grindr.
All of your dating apps. Make sure to swipe right.
Don't forget, we just got plenty of fish going. So
right. Farmers Only is coming soon.
Oh, man. Having too much fun. Anyway, we're just rambling now. So anyway, thanks, everybody, for listening. Hopefully, we'll see some good hockey coming up. 500 hockey so far.
Listen, we can bemoan 500 hockey, but if you had told me 2 weeks into the season that we'd be a 500 hockey team and in the mix in the division, I don't know if I'd have believed you. Yeah. So I'm okay with this team tread water for a couple weeks and hopefully finding its way.
Yep, and then hopefully they find their way. And that's the thing is, I think we're at that point where we're, like we talked about, we're going to go either way right here. We can have
100% it could.
We could have games like the Calgary game.
Yep.
We could have a lot of games like the Vancouver game.
Yep.
So let's hopefully it's more towards the Calgary end.
I hope so.
A pleasant mix of both. Where's a competitive? I love to have a competitive team that just fights their ass off. Agreed. And just barely loses or barely wins. I'll take that because that was kind of like when, you know, Berglund and Oshie and all those guys came along. Those are fun. I mean, Stanley Cup is great. Don't get me wrong. But the times where you're up and coming.
Sure.
Those are fun too. So, all right. Talk to you guys later. Thanks for listening.
See ya.